Welcome to, I don't even know what episode this is. What episode is this? Episode 17, I think. Somewhere around there. It's one of those episodes, you know. That's just how it is. So welcome to another fun-filled edition of Victims of Fun. This is your host, El Stevo. And as always, Victims of Fun, I want to thank the good folks at Anchor.fm for the world's best podcasting host. You can go on the Anchor.fm website, download the Anchor podcasting software to your laptop or to your phone. You can start podcasting in 5 minutes. It's easy. They monetize it for you. They distribute it. You can get supporters, even though I don't have any. Send me your money. I also want to thank the fine folks at Blue Microphones. I got this Blue Microphone Snowball Yeti, my Seagate SSD hard drive, and of course, Victims of Fun is created on an Apple MacBook M1 Air. Best laptop on the planet. Those are my plugs. So, there you go. So, I've been hanging out on Twitch a lot recently because I'm starting to get the feel for how Twitch runs, and I've already streamed myself playing Borderlands 2 and Rocket League, and I'm using Twitch Studio to create it. It's very basic, you know. It's more of a testing it all out type of thing. I mean, a lot of people have some very complicated and interactive Twitch streams. They're mostly using, I think, OBS Studio or whatever. They just have them set up better than I do. But like I said, this is just the beginning, and you know, I'm gonna see what this leads to. Hopefully it'll get more people to listen to the podcast than the 5 or 6 people who listen. I need at least 50 regularly to get better advertising from Anchor, so, you know, spread the word. I've been hanging out on some people's Twitch streams and getting to know people, and basically what I do is there's hundreds of thousands of Twitch streamers? I don't know. There's too many to count. All different categories, and some of them have like millions of followers and everything else, and they're highly professional channels with like Hollywood level production values, and honestly that's nice, but I don't kind of think that's what Twitch really should be about, because these people do this for a living. They have sponsors. I'm not talking like people who send them money. I'm talking they're sponsored by like EA Sports or Blizzard or Monster Energy Drink or Red Bull, or, you know, and they're spending 50 grand a Twitch stream and bringing in tons of, and this is their profession. And, yeah, okay, that's cool. You know, all the props in the world to them for doing that. But I prefer the one man or one woman show who just turns on their Twitch, you know, studio and starts streaming and starts talking or playing games, and I tend to support those people. I avoid the channels that have like tens of thousands of people in them with like a whole bunch of interactive graphics, and usually, you know, no offense, but a lot of times those people streaming are obnoxious. They're way too into themselves. They're way too into what they're doing. And I like Twitch streams, and I like podcasts that are just people just turning the mic on or the video camera and just shooting the shit. So I always look for Twitch streamers that have low follower counts or people who are live chatting. They only have like 4 or 5 people listening to them. And it's not that I feel bad and I jump in because, oh, you know, you only have 3 people listening to you. It's a lot of times those people have more interesting things to say than somebody who has to constantly tailor what they're saying to their audience and to their sponsors and everything else, where, you know, it's a lot of times it's scripted, it's fake, and I like people who just turn the camera or the mic on and just talk. So I've been hanging out with some people who do that, you know, which is what I like. And so I was in a Twitch stream the other day, I've been on a few. I've found some really good Twitch streamers, at least ones that I like. I'll give you some examples of the people I want to plug their channel. So I hang out with this one Twitch streamer named Munchkin Cat. MUNCHKINNCAT. I hang out on her channel. She's pretty cool. There's another Twitch streamer that I've really think is fantastic. I actually sent her a birthday card, and she actually lives a few hours from me, and her name is Ollie Pones, OLIPWNS, and she's hysterical. She plays that game Splitgate a lot, and she's from Cuba. She was born in Cuba, and now she lives in Florida, and she's hysterical. She's really, you know, her channel sometimes is a free-for-all, and we roast her a lot, and she roasts back, and it's pretty funny. Another Twitch streamer I hang out with is this girl from Israel called Limor Golan, LIMORGOLAN, and she doesn't stream that much because she has a lot going on in her life, but she's cool. She streamed for a few hours yesterday. We're playing FIFA 21, the soccer game, and she's very knowledgeable about soccer or football or however you want to pronounce it. But she's hysterical. She's good. I like her. And I met a new streamer the other day, and her name's Gremlin Princess 94. GREMLIN. PRINCESS 94, Gremlin Princess. And her channel is cool because it's a safe space for people who, it's basically a safe space for people who have mental issues or things of that nature. She's very caring, and you know, she'll talk to anybody who has things going on in her life and all that. But her thing, her channel is horror games. She chats about stuff like haunts and cults and aliens and stuff. And so I found her channel the other night because all my other Twitch streamers like Limor and Ollie and Allegory, and who I've talked about before, they were all not on air. And so I found Gremlin Princess, and I went on her Twitch stream, and it was hysterical because we started talking about aliens, and like the topic of her channel the other day was would you rather be probed or abducted by aliens? And we got into this whole discussion, everybody in her channel, about aliens, and it was like, well, what would an alien look like? What would they be like? What could you even talk to them? I mean, what would they eat? You know, how would you even know they're an alien? And that got me thinking, like, what would an alien look like? I mean, how would you even know? I mean, there's people who think that octopi are aliens because they are so unlike anything on this planet. And I remember reading something online, and I'm going to see if I can pull this up, about somebody was saying that octopi are actually aliens because they don't share, here it goes. Octopuses are aliens, or at least so vastly different in their genetic makeup that they might as well be considered out of this world. It says here, and this is a website, it says they're, the Octopus Genome Project mapped the DNA structure of an octopus, and what they found was that their DNA is so vastly different from anything else living on this planet that there's many serious scientists or marine biologists or octopus people who state that they are actually not native to this planet, that their ancestors came on an asteroid or a comet or something, because they don't fit into the genetic makeup of anything alive on the Earth, and that octopuses are in fact an alien life form. Now, if you ever go on YouTube, you can YouTube like octopus intelligence. And apparently, if an octopus, if you have an octopus in a tank and you have a bottle with a screw top, and the octopus, you know, is looking at the bottle in the water and it's just like, you know, what's this? And in front of the octopus, you unscrew the bottle and then screw it back down. And the octopus watches you. From that point on, the octopus knows that it has to unscrew the top of the bottle to get into what's in there. And that if you put another octopus into the tank, the octopus that has the knowledge of unscrewing the bottle will teach the other octopus, this is what you have to do to open this up to get to the food. Now, if that's not some alien tier stuff, I don't know what is, because that's pretty scary. I mean, not scary like, you know, octopus are going to take over the planet, but I think it's kind of interesting that, you know, octopi or octopus are capable of learning things like that. And apparently, from what I've seen on YouTube and I've read, if you have somebody who, like in a marine environment, like an aquarium, I'm not talking home aquarium, I'm talking, you know, like Clearwater Aquarium or, you know, a professional aquarium, that the handlers, the octopus will recognize the handlers that always come in there. So if you're an octopus handler and you're constantly taking care of the octopus, if you walk in and they see you, they will swim over to where you are on the tank and greet you or whatever. And if you're a stranger, they won't do it. Which is interesting. But they're known as escape artists because they're constantly figuring out how to get out of their tank. And there have been reports of octopus in aquariums breaking out of their tank, crawling across the room, and getting into another tank where there's another octopus, or just, you know, because they and they figure out how to do it. So I mean, that's some pretty good indication of intelligence. So maybe there's some credence to the whole octopus are alien things. The only thing about octopus is they don't live very long. I think even in the wild, a giant California octopus, which I think is the largest octopus in the world, supposedly they only live like 3 or 4 years. And I remember reading somewhere that some scientist said if octopus could live longer, like 20, 30, 35 years, like other sea creatures, that with their intelligence and their capacity for learning, that they would be the dominant life form in the ocean and possibly on the planet, because their rate of learning and their intelligence and their memory retention, if they had a long enough lifespan, they would, you know, they would develop a civilization, and then probably we would probably need permission to go into the water from the octopus union. You can imagine that if human beings were dominant species on land and octopus were the dominant species in the water, and we needed permission from them to go in there or to sail boats or anything like that. And can you imagine how angry they would be at us for polluting the oceans and everything? They probably would have declared war on us by now. I mean, I saw that movie It Came from Beneath the Sea, about the giant kaiju-sized octopus that attacked San Francisco. This thing was like 300 feet across, and it destroyed the Golden Gate Bridge and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, that could be a real scenario, you know? The octopus union keeps telling the humans, you're polluting the oceans too much, and it's going to be an act of war, and then we don't listen to it. And the next thing you know, we have giant kaiju octopuses, you know, destroying the Panama Canal and screwing up our trade. There was actually a book kind of like that by the guy who wrote Day of the Triffids. And it was called, I think, The Kraken Awakes. And it was about aliens that, this book was written like in the 50s. And these aliens land on Earth, but they
go into the water. And they never make contact with people. And it turns out they are a deep sea dwelling alien civilization. So they don't come on the land, but they start taking over the Earth's oceans and they start denying humans the ability to sail on the water and to do trade and everything else. So, I mean, you can go out into like coastal area, like shallow water, but you can't cross the oceans or anything like that because they'll destroy you. I mean, you can fly, but anything crossing out, I think, a couple miles offshore, you're going to get attacked. And that's how they're taking over the planet. And after being down there for like 10, 15 years, they start attacking the land. They have these tanks, like armored vehicles that come out of the water that start attacking the coastal cities. And it turns out that these aliens come from a planet where the water pressure is a lot more, so they can't survive outside of deep water or they explode. And it's an interesting book. It's called The Kraken Awakes. It's one of the most realistic alien invasion scenarios I think you're ever going to get. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and talk about more alien stuff. So, you know, maybe there's some aliens listening in right now. That would be pretty cool. So we'll be right back. Is this on?
Yeah.
It's on.
Okay.
This is Oscar Jackson here at Oscar Jackson's Fine Used Car Emporium on Chicken Head Road by the Piggly Wiggly. Best used cars in the area. We accept all type of financing. Snap, EBT, Case Fireball. I'll get you a car. I don't care what ethnicity you are or what your binary or non-binary whatever thing is. I don't. You got money. That's all that's important to me. At least I'm honest about it. But anyway, I got a special deal this week. If you come down, get a used car. My wife, she made a bunch of treats, cookies and cakes and pies and stuff. And if you come down here and get a used car, you get to choose one of those. I have them all in my office. I have a big table of brownies and cookies and apple pies and my wife's specialty made with bananas and whipped cream, Cool Whip actually. We don't make it by hand. So if you come down, get a quality used vehicle, bring money, bring your Snap, your EBT, or Case Fireball, I'll get you in a car. And you get a car and you get one of these tasty oven-baked things that my wife of 72 years made. So that's at Oscar Jackson's Used Car Emporium on Chicken Head Road. You get a Piggly Wiggly. Come on down. Get a used car. Get a baked good. Get a pie or some cookies. You come to my office and I'll give it to you. So just to reiterate and explain so there's no misconstruction or misunderstanding. If you buy a car from me this week, you could come to my office and possibly I will give you a cream pie. You come to my office after getting a car and I will cream pie you. I got good cream pies and my cream pie will fill you up. So come on down and get a car and get a cream pie. That's Oscar Jackson's Used Car Emporium on Chicken Head Road. You're a Piggly Wiggly. So come on down. Got these cream pies waiting for you. And God bless the Confederacy.
Welcome back. We're, what are we talking about? Oh, yeah, aliens. And, aliens and stuff. I think that was the topic. That is the topic. I just lost my train of thought. Must be aliens. But if you think about it, if you remember that thing, it's called the Drake Equation. And I remember it from Contact. I remember reading about from Carl Sagan. Basically, the Drake Equation is this mathematical equation that they say proves that there's alien life out there. Because the equation points out with all the stars and all the galaxies and the size of the universe and the amount of planets that can be around the stars, according to the Drake Equation, there are literally billions of intelligent civilizations out there. That the idea that in all of the universe, we are the only place where life evolved is so mathematically impossible that it's not even worth discussing. That's what the Drake Equation states anyway. And yet there's still people on this planet who are stupid enough or ignorant enough to think that we're it. And their idea that we are the only life form on the Earth, I mean in the universe, in all the universe, is either based on religion or just based on their own stupidity. Now, the weird thing is that pretty much every religion, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Islam, have all answered the question, you know, is there life elsewhere in the universe? And they all say yes. All of the major religions and all the minor ones, and they all state that God or Jehovah or Allah or Vishnu or Yahweh or whoever they call God has always said that this being created the universe and all the life in it. Nowhere in the texts, nowhere in the Bible or the Quran or the Torah or anywhere does it say, oh, by the way, it only created it here. It said, actually, I believe that the Bible, which is the one I'm most familiar with, states that God filled the universe, not just the earth. And some people go, oh, yeah, but, you know, like, back then, the universe was just the earth, and that's what they meant. Well, you know what? Shut up. It's not what it means. Okay? If God created the universe, and he only put life on this planet, then he's got issues. So the universe is filled with civilizations. I'm willing to bet that out there somewhere in more advanced civilizations that there's civilizations that have trade relations, you know, it's almost like that movie Valerian of a Thousand Planets, where they all live and work together like it's no big deal, you know. And I'm sure that's out there. I'm sure there's some sort of intergalactic internet. You know, it's almost like Rick and Morty, where they have interdimensional cable. Yeah, I'm sure there's something like that out there, interdimensional internet, where, you know, you're sitting in your spaceship or your house on whatever planet you live on, and you go, oh, I wonder how the Glorb races on Garfom 9 are doing, and you turn it in and you watch the Glorb races or cooking with Zappazoid 4, and he's gonna make a stew of, like, you know, oxfish or something. Yeah, you know, weird stuff like that. I'm sure that's out there. And we were having a discussion on the Twitch stream I was on the other night that somewhere out there is, I mean, the odds are there's an anime planet where if you land on the planet, everything has the visual appearance that it was drawn as an anime.
because that's just how they evolved. And people are like, oh, no way, man, there's nothing like that. Well, when you have billions of civilizations and trillions of forms of life, mathematically, at that point, anything is possible, you know. And mathematically, there could be millions of human civilizations out there. Only because they evolved the same way we did. Because the mathematics say that that is possible. That they look just like us. They talk like us. They have almost our same beliefs. Their DNA is different because they're not from the Earth, but everything else is there. You know, there's probably a planet where the dominant life form are clams, and it's like the clam empire, and, you know, the clam emperor and everything. It's just because you're dealing with numbers that can't even be comprehended. I mean, if you look at just our galaxy, just the Milky Way, and we live in the rural part of the Milky Way galaxy. We are like, if New York City's the center of the Milky Way galaxy, we are somewhere in like the Dust Bowl of Wyoming, as far as where we are. And the Milky Way galaxy itself has billions of stars. Just this galaxy. And around those billions of stars, God knows how many planets, and God knows how many civilizations, and that's just one galaxy. And there's a very famous picture of the universe that the Hubble Space Telescope took. And I think the exposure lasted like 30 days or something, because they wanted to get as much in as they possibly could. And in this image are literally hundreds of thousands of galaxies. And each galaxy has billions of stars. And there's hundreds of thousands of galaxies. And it only was pointed at a section of the sky that they say was the equivalent of looking at something the size of a pinhole on something the size of the solar system. Just the numbers can't be comprehended. Your brain actually starts to put up a block when you try to think of numbers that big, because it can't process it. Think about the size of the solar system, and think about something the size of a pinprick. And in the size of that pinprick are hundreds of thousands of galaxies. And each of these galaxies has billions of stars. And that's contained in an area the size of a pinprick in something the size of the solar system that we live in. Just comprehend that for a minute and dwell on it. And you're meaning to tell me that there's people out there who say there's no other life out there. That's the biggest bunch of bullshit on the planet. Because there are, now, and people say, well, why haven't they contacted us? Well, because space is very, very, very big. You know, it's huge. It's a lot bigger than people can even comprehend. And even with trillions of galaxies and trillions upon quintillions of civilizations, the amount of space out there is so big that you're not just going to randomly run into each other. The other theory is that they know we're here, but we're so undeveloped that they don't want to contact us yet. See, I always had this theory, okay, that aliens know that we are here. And we are part of an alien, I don't want to say program or test, but I think the aliens that pretty much have the control of this part of the galaxy, or this galaxy, or this sector, they have planets in their control zone, or in their observation zone, that they judge are almost ready to be contacted and brought into the greater universe, but they're not quite there yet. In that there is a, I don't want to say a blockade, but there is a, almost like a protective wildlife area, scientists can go in and observe the wildlife, but the general public's not allowed to show up. That's what I think we are at. I think that alien scientists can come here and observe and test and observe, but the general alien populations can't show up and just make contact and everything. And I think a lot of times when you have these abductions or weird things going on, it's kind of like in the national parks here on Earth, where people will sneak in and, you know, build a bonfire and get stoned or have sex on the beach or fish or something. And you're not supposed to be doing that, but every once in a while somebody sneaks in. That's what I think happens here sometimes at some of these UFO things. But I think for the most part, it's alien scientists just coming in and, you know, observing us, because we're almost at the point where we're ready to be brought in, but not quite yet. Maybe not for another couple hundred years, or however the aliens measure time. Because again, remember, we base a year on how our planet evolves around the sun, where the aliens could have a completely different sense of time. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider. But that's what I think we're at. I think we're in that type of situation where, okay, let's keep an eye on them. Nobody go in there, and let's just observe, type of thing. That's what I think it is. That's why I think, that's why I think you don't have a scenario where they just land in front of the UN and go, hey, we're aliens, man, we're here, you know. But just think about when it happens. I mean, everything I've ever read says that confirmed alien contact would disrupt society massively, that even religions would be called into question. But see, I don't think so, because if you go by what a lot of the religions say, like what I said before the break, they've always said that their texts allow for alien life in the universe because God, or whatever they call God, filled the universe. I think it's the average person who's just doesn't understand their religion or just is stupid doesn't get that. And, you know, I know if aliens show up, there's going to be a portion of the population that's going to worship the aliens as gods. There's going to be a portion that's going to want to kill them because they view them as a threat. There's going to be a portion, like in the military and certain groups in the government, are going to want to, you know, steal alien technology. And there's going to be a group of people who are going to have sex with the aliens. And yeah, I hope I'm alive when it happens, because I want to see the hysterical response that people... I mean, look how people reacted to the last episode of Game of Thrones, and tell me how you think they're going to react to aliens. I mean, seriously, the whole world nearly fell apart because of what happened on the last episode of Game of Thrones, with Daenerys suddenly turning bad out of nowhere with no warning. And you mean to tell me that society won't collapse over aliens when it almost did over Game of Thrones? I mean, seriously. But, I mean, guess we'll see. I mean, I hope that these aliens aren't like xenomorphs. But can you imagine if the aliens came down and they looked like the xenomorphs from Alien? But they were friendly. So they come out, and they look like those aliens, you know, with their jaws and their acid blood and everything else. And they're like, hey, look, we got the cure to cancer, and we're going to, like, show you how to grow food. We're going to end all your wars. And, hey, let's be friends. And people are gonna be like, oh, my God, they're xenomorphs. You know, how are people going to react? It's like that book Childhood's End, where aliens do make contact, but for the longest time, the aliens don't show their faces because they're getting people ready for it. And when they do show their faces, the aliens actually look like the depiction of Satan and the devil in the world's religions. And the aliens knew that this is how people depicted, you know, demons and devils. And the aliens are like, oh, God, we look just like that. We need to get them ready. And people based how people judge the aliens based on how they looked, which is a lot of people on Earth judge each other by how they look. Yeah, that's just because people are stupid. But can you imagine the alien ship opens up and a bunch of xenomorphs pop out and they're all like, hey, we're here. We got the cure to cancer. Let's smoke a couple bowls and get stoned and hang out. And look, we have Doritos and, they're all friendly. And people start shooting them because they look like xenomorphs. But then imagine an alien ship opens up and a bunch of little aliens that look like E.T. come out and suddenly they start eating people's brains. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. God forbid the alien spaceship opens up and a bunch of tentacled monsters come out, because I think that's going to be like a bunch of really, really, really weird people's ultimate fetish dream coming true, having aliens with tentacles. I think we all know where that heads to. But there you go. I don't know. So if you believe in aliens and you think aliens are here or they're coming, why don't you email me at victimsoffun@mail.com. That's victimsoffun@mail.com. And you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just type in Victims of Fun and you can make sure you click follow and leave some comments on some of the stuff I post. And remember, we have a Twitch stream now on Twitch. Just, it's Victims of Fun. And you'll see me in the flesh. And I do a lot of streaming. Well, I'm starting to, Borderlands, Rocket League, chatting, Idol Manager, stuff like that. And remember, you can listen to Victims of Fun on Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and there's a little supporter button you can click and send me money. Because I need money, and you probably have money that you don't need, so you should send it to me. Because I will put it to good use. I will invest it in improving the podcast. I'm not going to go out and buy alcohol with it, which is what a lot of streamers do. They lie and they tell you, yeah, this money is going to go to, like, help my podcast, to help my Twitch stream. And then they get a bunch of supporter money and they head down to a liquor store. I know this for a fact. So make sure you do all that. And thank you for listening. And like I said, if you have any comments on the alien thing, just email me or leave some comments on, any of the other social media stuff I have. And make sure you follow my friends on Twitch that I mentioned today. And it's one big world community. And I will leave you with these parting words that I always do. Make sure you love each other, because we are all stuck on this planet until the xenomorphs show up. And then all bets are off. So thank you very much for listening in. And oh, God, that. I've had something stuck in my throat since this whole thing started. I'm going to go get some whiskey. Anyway, so thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time on Victims of Fun.